Hello and welcome for total consecration. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 28. Action and reaction. Love always comes down from heaven to earth in the same way. It originates from the Father and is given through the Son and the Holy Spirit to creatures. Any response to that love always returns to God in the same way also. From creation, through the Holy Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. The whole universe is permeated by this divine law of action and reaction. The Creator's action of love and the creature's reaction to love. It is the Holy Spirit who initiates the reaction to love. But He never acts alone. The union between the Holy Spirit and Mary, His spouse, is so perfect and inexpressibly close that the Holy Spirit acts only through her and never without her. Since the very first moment of her existence, the giver of grace, the Holy Spirit, has established His own dwelling place in her soul. He took such absolute possession of it that the name Spouse of the Holy Spirit, although true and beautiful, is still nothing but a distant, pale, and imperfect shadow of this union. Do you see, therefore, how the first step of your reaction to divine love must always be taken with Mary, without whom the Holy Spirit never acts? Can you now see clearly how the Holy Spirit will not initiate in you the reaction to divine love without her? If you seek to be docile to the Holy Spirit, be docile to His Immaculate Spouse. He guides souls on their return to God only with her and through her, and enkindles in souls a love for her and confidence in her. His will is her will, His action her action. You can therefore say without scruple and with all confidence, use the following expressions. I want to do the will of the Immaculate. Let her will be done. You must see her hand in your daily life, and about whatever happens, you can say, the Immaculate has allowed these things to happen. And you can say this because she never wants anything other than what the Holy Spirit wishes. Her will is in no way different than that of the Holy Spirit, nor of her Son, nor of the Father. You can let yourself be led by her without any fear. Indeed, speaking of her will, without any reservations, you give even greater glory to God, because you confess that you not only love His holy will, but you praise Him and glorify Him for having created a creature so perfect as the Immaculate, a creature so loving as she is, who freely unites herself to God in everything, and who so infallibly unites you to God as well, and for having made her His own mother and yours. Surrender yourself to her totally. Let her guide you, and be confident that you will reach the very heart of God Himself. Let us now turn to our daily prayers on page 85. If you can, please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Act of adoration of the Most Holy Trinity. I adore you, our Heavenly Father, because you have deigned to place in the most pure womb of Mary your only begotten Son. I adore you, O Son of God, because you condescended to enter the womb of Mary and became truly her actual Son. I adore you, O Holy Spirit, because you deigned to form in her immaculate womb the body of the Son of God. I adore you, O Most Holy Trinity, O one God in the Holy Trinity, for having exalted the Immaculate in such a divine way. And I will never cease daily, from the first moment I awake, to adore you most humbly, O Divine Trinity, with my face to the ground, repeating three times. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Renewal of Baptismal Promises. I reject sin, so as to live in the freedom of God's children. I reject the glamour of evil and refuse to be mastered by sin. I reject Satan, father and prince of darkness. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church, and those recommended to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that concludes our preparation for day 28. In today's reflection, we are going to discuss suffering and tragedy. A very good friend of mine is a true child of Mary. She's totally consecrated to the Virgin Mary, prayed the four rosaries every single day, and she struggled with infertility for many years. She was finally able to conceive after a lot of prayer and sacrifice, and when she went in to find out the gender, she found out that she was having a boy, which made her very excited because she always wanted to have a son that maybe would become a priest. But she was also met with some tragic news. She found out that her son had a hole in his heart, and she was devastated. She reached out to me and said, "Gabe, will you be Joseph's godfather?" The baby's name was going to be Joseph Aquinas. And I said, "Absolutely. I don't have much to offer, but what I do have, I'll give to him." And so after Joseph was born, he had several heart surgeries, and he had to be in the hospital for literally over a year that she spent living at Texas Children with Joseph. After several rounds of surgeries, they released Joseph, and on the evening of February 15th, Macy goes into his room where he was sleeping, and she finds him unresponsive. She picks him up and she tries to resuscitate him. She tries to put oxygen into his lungs, and it doesn't work. He's dead, and she just holds him in her arms. She reached out to me after and said, "Gabe, I would like for you to speak at the rosary and the viewing service." And I was devastated, and I did not know what to say, what I was going to say. I felt like I had to address the elephant in the room, which is, how could God possibly allow a child to die, especially when the mother is so devoted to the Virgin Mary, and the Virgin Mary is supposed to be like God's great sweetness to us? How could the Virgin Mary allow this? So I felt like I had to address that. On the way up to the rosary, I reached out to my friend that I had mentioned before, the relics expert, the expert on saints, the exorcist, and he told me that when there's somebody in your family that you believe is a saint, they lived a very holy life, and you have every firm conviction that they are in heaven by true objective standards, they were daily rosary prayers, they went to mass, they were frequent in the sacraments, that you could venerate their items as relics within the home. And in the case of Joseph Aquinas, he was baptized, his parents consecrated him to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so, theologically, he's baptized. He's a child, so he has no sin. He was going to have the Mass of the Angels. So he's a saint in heaven. So truly, we could use his items as relics within our own private devotion. And me being his godfather, he has a special spiritual connection with me. So I arrived early at the funeral home to pray with Joseph Aquinas' body. And as I was praying, what's the answer to this? How could Jesus and Mary allow an innocent child to die? I knelt down and I prayed my seven sorrows rosary. And I was focusing on the first sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the prophecy of Simeon. The Virgin Mary had her own innocent, sweet baby. And doctors of the law came to her and said, "Your child will stand for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and a sword too will pierce your own heart." And I thought, wow, that reminds me of Joseph. The doctor told Macy, he's got a hole in his heart. It pierced her heart having this foreknowledge that her son's life was going to be cut short, and he's so innocent. The flight into Egypt, the Virgin Mary had to live in a foreign territory for a long period of time, away from family, away from friends. And of course, I was reminded of Macy, having to live at Texas Children's for a year, away from her friends, away from her normal lifestyle. Then I thought about losing Jesus for 3 days, the insecurity that the Virgin Mary had, not knowing where he was at, the anxiety that builds about concerning the safety of your child. And then, of course, you go on with the carrying of the cross and all the tubing that Macy and all the medical bandages and the changing out of medications and all the crosses involved. And then, of course, the death of the child, the crucifixion of Jesus. He's lowered down from the cross. He's put into the arms of the Virgin Mary, and the Virgin Mary just clings to him. He was so innocent. He was so pure. He did nothing wrong. He did not deserve this type of death. And then, of course, that brought me to think of Macy as she held her son in her arms, breathed her breath into his lungs, trying to resuscitate him, and he was dead. And that answered the question for me. Where was Jesus? Where was Mary in all of this? Right at the center of it. Mary did it first. Our Lord, in everything that he suffered, can relate to us in our greatest fears, our greatest weaknesses, our greatest moments of pain and agony, where we have our tender hearts exposed. But in a way, there's one agony he did not experience, and that is the loss of a child. And so in these circumstances, Our Lady pulls those mothers very close to her heart. And Our Lady is at the center of every suffering. She's so compassionate. She suffers with us. And so after I finished my Seven Sorrows Rosary, I looked at Joseph's casket and I spoke to him. I said, Joseph, I believe that you're here. I know that you're with our Lord in heaven. I know you're in the arms of the Virgin Mary, but I believe that you can speak to me now. What do you want me to say at your rosary service and your viewing? And I felt it so clear. He was such a, I just felt the presence of a happy, holy child. There was so much peace in the room, and it was empty. And I felt like he said to me, tell everybody I'm alive. Tell them I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm happy. I'm alive. Don't be sad for me. I'm so happy. I'm with Jesus. I'm with Mary. I'm more alive now than I was before. And so I went to the viewing service, and there was several people there, but one couple in the back stood out to me. Because mostly this is a Filipino crowd, a couple of mixed race people from all the different prayer groups that Macy's involved with. But I saw a young Caucasian couple, and I recognized them from a totally different circle of friends. And they just stood out to me. And as I'm speaking and I tell the story about the seven sorrows of Our Lady, and I talk about how the ties between Macy and the sufferings of Our Lady, I say the final thing. I say, and Joseph wants you all to know, he's alive. He's truly alive. You can talk to him. You can call upon him. And as I said that, I saw the eyes of this young couple. They started crying profusely, and the wife just put her arms around the husband, and the husband was trying to console the wife. So after I went and I talked to them and I said, hey, what are you doing here? How do you know these people? And she says, you're not going to believe this. The night that Joseph died, just a few hours later, this woman had struggled with years of infertility, and she was due to give birth, and her baby had vital signs that were plummeting. She was gonna die. The little girl was gonna die. But their doctor, I'm not gonna mention her name, very holy woman, had just left the Adoration Chapel, got the call to come in immediately. This is an emergency. The baby is going to die. We need you to come in right now. This doctor, very good Catholic doctor, knew about the death of Joseph Aquinas just that previous night. And she said, I cried out to Joseph Aquinas. I said, Joseph, I know you're in heaven. Please, I'm begging you, help this little girl. And the moment that she uttered that prayer to Joseph Aquinas, her vital signs shot back up, and miraculous turnaround. And that baby is alive and happy and healthy today. Suffering and tragedy is going to come to you. The cross is going to come to you. This is unavoidable. Our Lord did not come to earth to take away suffering. Suffering is an evil that is going to be visited upon all of us. Jesus came here to redeem suffering, to make our suffering have meaning, have purpose, and to help us to get through that suffering. He gives us his own mother, who if she could have died from her suffering, she would have. But the Lord preserved her. She suffered more than any other person who's ever suffered. Every other martyr, if you add all their sufferings combined, they do not compare to the suffering of the Blessed Virgin Mary. but how sweet it is when you have a mother that you've given your entire life over to, and she will suffer with you, and she will help you to see the bright side. And sometimes it feels like there is no bright side, but in those circumstances, she draws all the closer. We're doing our consecration according to the spirit of Saint Maximilian Kolbe, and he was acquainted with suffering and grief. And this is what he said concerning tragedies. I know this might not sound popular at first, but it's very profound and it will change you. He said, if it's happening, even if it's a tragedy, if it's happening and it's outside of your control, go ahead and assume that it is the sure will of the Immaculata. Your response should be, okay, Blessed Mother, you're more powerful than any circumstance. If this is happening, you're going to bring some good out of it. What do you want me to do? So in that moment, again, you make an act of faith in the presence of Mary, whatever your tragedy is, try to call to mind, you're really present, Blessed Mother, I believe that, guide me, lead me. And if you were just to look at part of the life of St. Maximilian Kolbe, the man was trying to take over the world for the Virgin Mary. He had printing presses. He had a city dedicated to the Virgin Mary with over 700 consecrated religious there. And the Nazis came and destroyed all of it and sent them all home. And Maximilian Kolbe's response was, yes, Mary, this is the path. This is the way. This is according to your will. I'm not going to get dejected. I'm not going to get sad. When the Nazis came to finally take Maximilian Kolbe away to the concentration camp, what was his response? Yes, Mary, how do you want me to do this? I want you to be a good cheer, keep your head up, lift others up. When Maximilian Kolbe was being brutalized and humiliated and treated like less than a man, horrible, the worst circumstances in history, tormented, tortured, what was his response? Yes, Mary. He did not pity party himself. He leaned upon the presence of Mary and he said, how do you want me to respond? Lift these people up. Show them their dignity. Teach them to pray. Offer them confession. Give them lessons. So any other person would be completely overwhelmed with darkness. But in those darkest moments, he clung to Mary and followed her lead. On that fateful day, when one prisoner escaped and they were going to exchange one prisoner for the life of 10, and Maximilian Kolbe quickly saw, this man, this is my opportunity. What do you mean this is my opportunity? What is the goal of the Virgin Mary? To make us like Christ. Maximilian Kolbe wasn't running from the cross. Maximilian Kolbe was running to the cross through the guidance of the Virgin Mary. His goal was to take over the world for the Immaculate. He saw in this the sure will of God. If it's happening, it's the sure will of the Immaculata. And he said, yes, Mary, take me instead. He didn't hesitate. He broke the ranks. He walked up to the front. I will die. Who are you? I'm a priest. I don't care who you are. I'll kill anybody. And what did he do in that starvation bunker that he was in for so many days? The worst conditions. Normally people would be cursing and crying in such terrible living conditions. What did Maximilian Kolbe do? He sung. He sung the praises of the Virgin Mary in the most hellish place on earth. No demon could conquer his spirit. No evil could conquer his spirit. He sung Ave Maria, Hail Mary, full of grace, who through her crushed the head of the serpent and brought hope on earth. And he wasn't singing a false song. He sung it from the depths of his soul. And he became what he promised he'd become. Throughout this consecration, we've said the prayer, make me a saint, a great saint. Maximilian Kolbe gave us the blueprint, and then he showed us if we just follow this plan of letting the Virgin Mary lead us, we will become a saint, a great saint, and he proved it. And he proved the essence of our theology, that Mary makes us into Christ. And so Maximilian Kolbe can say with Jesus Christ, no greater love has a man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. So I say to you, what is your response going to be when tragedy comes, when suffering comes? Are you going to be resentful to God? Or are you going to cling to Him? You're going to cling to Mary like a child and say, Mother Mary, I need you. Be present to me. What do you want me to do? And then when she gives you her response, you say, yes, Mary. God bless you. God love you. And we will see you tomorrow.